Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM in Seattle. But physically today, we are at a beautiful place called the Tokelin Hotel, right on the Pacific Ocean, a couple hours away from Seattle. And there's such beautiful energy here. It's Lemurian energy. We're having a wine, spirits, and oysters free event this weekend to benefit the Emoto Peace Project. This hotel is full of ghosts and paranormal activity, and it's one of the oldest bed and breakfasts along the Pacific Coast. It was built in 1868, and the energy here is really good. As my good friend Carolyn White was saying earlier, she's a wonderful psychic and an aura reader. This place has lots of good energy, including energy from Lemuria. She mentioned before that people were interested in hematite, is that right? They were interested in crystals here and crystals and
quartz crystals and like hematite.
And hematite. Well, actually, there's a beach not far from here where you walk and you have grains of hematite. It's actually a hematite beach, which is very unusual. The sand's almost black, kind of a black grayish things, but it's full of that black gray sand. Also, you can see quartz crystals scattered in the sand itself. It's not far from here. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a better place. And I know with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to tell you also that I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if your loved ones have passed on or you'd like to contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at area code 509-750-9793, or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. I wanted to thank everyone who came to my Galactic Wisdom Conference earlier this month and made it a big success. It was so successful, I'll be having another one, my fifth annual Galactic Wisdom Conference, which will be held from April 12th to the 16th, 2019. The website remains the same, www.galacticwisdomconference.com, and we'll be updating with our speakers. Many of the speakers will be returning, but many will be having some new speakers as well. I've decided to drop the price to a substantial discount of only $55 for the entire conference if you register early. For details, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Also, this summer, from July 2nd to the 8th of July 2018, I will be taking a group of people to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth. Also, I'll be repeating the trip from September 6th to the 11th. Also, from August 31st to September 2nd, I'll also be sponsoring an Ascension Conference at Mount Shasta with Diane Robbins, who's been a frequent visitor to Telos and the author of many books on Telos and the Hollow Earth, as well as Susan Isabel, who's a Mount Shasta psychic and a channel to the Hollow Earth, Judy Kelly, and many others. So if you're interested in talking to people and meeting with people who've actually been to Hollow Earth, this will be one conference that you will not want to miss. I've been doing this since 2016 on my first trip to Mount Shasta in September 2016. There were a group of Koreans who actually went into Telos and the Hollow Earth. They physically went in, and those interviews, I interviewed them just after they came out that one fateful day in September 2016. If you'd like to listen to their interview, please go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com, and then at the upper right-hand corner, look at guests, past guests, and look at September 2016, and you can listen to the interviews. It was pretty amazing. For many years, I had no idea that there were other civilizations beneath this one, and believe me, there are. They're all this universe is teeming with life, and so is this planet. And there's so much more that we just don't know about. That you'd find Mount Shasta fascinating. What happens when I go there? My energy goes way, way up. One of the most interesting things, too, is when you drive up to the mountain, often you will see circular clouds around the mountain. And I'm told by my friends in the Hollow Earth that those are actually spaceships being clouded over, so to speak, being hidden by the clouds, which are just amazing. Earth scientists call them lenticular clouds. Thank you, Carolyn. But they're just a cover. for the so if you were to poke through the center of the cloud, you'd hit a hard metal spaceship. And so I don't suggest doing it if you're up in Mount Shasta, sticking your finger in the clouds. But they are inhabited. Eric, if we could play Aquarius by the Fifth Dimension, a few minutes of that, and then like to start this next segment. We are entering a new age. What's called the Schumann residence has gone up so much since 2016. For tens of thousands of years, the vibration of this planet Earth, what's called the Schumann residence, has been at 7.8 hertz. In September of 2016, it almost doubled to 13.8 hertz. And since right now, it varies between 160 and 190 hertz. Now, the U.S. government doesn't measure it, but the Russians do. And you can look up, like Google the website, and you can see it. And the funny thing is that this is really important because there wasn't even a scale for the Schumann residence beyond 100 hertz because it had been at 7.8 hertz for literally tens of thousands of years. But now it's up to 160 to 190. And my spirit guides tell me that within the next 2.5 years or so, it's going to go to 800 hertz. What will the planet look like at 800 hertz vibration? Well, you're going to see a lot of negative people, a lot of negative governments, a lot of negative corporations falling apart. And they will not be here on the planet anymore. And eventually, this is going to transform the planet into a fifth-dimensional planet. And according to Nostradamus and my friends on the other side, this process will be complete by the year 2025. And what's significant about that date is that originally, Nostradamus had told me back in the late 80s, or he told Dolores Cannon, that this process would be completed by the year 2038. So now it's going to be completed ahead of schedule by 13 years. And the reason why it's being completed ahead of schedule, it's because of you and me and everyone listening to this program, trying to create a much better and happier planet. As President Kennedy has told me many times, the kinds of changes happening now are happening from the bottom up. He tried to do them from the top down in his administration. He was murdered as a result of that, but it wasn't quite the right time. Now's the right time. And the Fifth Dimension, which is a 1969 song about the new age, it's happening now. Took some years to catch up, but we are past the point of no return. So at any rate, if you can come to Mount Shasta this summer, please. Both tours are already starting to fill up, and I'm going to limit the number of people on both tours to a small group. I don't want a lot of people coming this time. Also, too, before you go, if you're interested, you have to follow certain spiritual protocols, including eating no meat for at least 3 weeks before you go, and you have to be cleared by the Telosians. I'm in contact with them telepathically, and I always check people out before they come on the trip. With that, I'm at a wonderful wine and spirits program today at the beautiful and historic Oakland Hotel. For those of you just tuning in, it's a free event with free cranberry wine, free wine actually, free oysters, and the readings aren't free, but they're by donations with both Carolyn White and myself, and I'll be running till tomorrow. And Michiko Hayashi, the famous director of the Modal Peace Project, will be giving a presentation tomorrow at 12 noon. And I happen to have the famous Michiko right with me now. And Michiko, why don't you come on and tell people a little bit about your work? And we're right on the ocean here. I want you to do a water prayer as well. Could you introduce yourself to my listeners?
Okay. Well, hello, everyone. Thank you so much for being here, sharing this beautiful moment with us. We are here in Tokelon, Washington, and this is such a perfect place to talk about water because we're right at the beside the Pacific Ocean. It's drizzling a little bit, and we do appreciate water. And when we learn what water is and also what we are really water, then our life really changes because water is saying that because we're 70% water, and because water absorbs all what we say, what we think, what we see, what we hear, and that creates the crystal within our body and environment accordingly. So it would be wonderful if there are many people here tomorrow.
Wonderful, wonderful. And what time does your presentation start here tomorrow?
It will start at 12 noon, and I'm calculating for about 2 hours, but at that time I will be showing many water crystals that Dr. Masaru Emoto have obtained, and you will see how powerful our thoughts are, our words are, and most importantly, how beautiful love and gratitude is.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, Dr. Emoto did work in the power of attention. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Could you tell us a little bit about his work, and maybe you could say a water prayer for today?
Okay. Because Dr. Emoto learned that our prayers reach or water absorbs our prayers, and it will come back to us. And when we say it's beyond time and space. Mm-hmm. So when we send our offer of love and gratitude to water, then it will spread all around the world instantaneously. And what Dr. Emoto used to do was to get together with as many people, because collectively the power amplifies. And with everyone, he used to offer the prayer combined with Ho'oponopono, asking for forgiveness for taking it granted that water is here with us. But we appreciate it, and we take care of water. We love water. And at the beginning of the ceremony, he used to send this Daidangen. It means the grand invocation. So if you would like me to do the water ceremony.
Well, you must be a psychic, yes. I was just going to ask you that. Thank you. You read my mind.
Well, thank you.
Now, could you tell people you have something in your right hand and something in your left hand?
Right. In my right hand is a tuning fork of 528 hertz. This is universal love, vibration of universal love that Dr. Emoto used to hit with this pure, beautiful crystal.
Now, the crystal itself is from Lemuria, Mount Shasta.
I got it from Mount Shasta and blessed by Telosian.
By the Telosians. Uh-huh. And it's full of love and light energy.
So I hit this 528 hertz crystal so that this love and gratitude will go all around the world instantaneously.
So when you hit the crystal on this, when you hit the tuning fork on this crystal, you're going to produce the vibration of 528 hertz. That's the love frequency, isn't it?
Exactly.
Okay, so everyone listening today will get bathed in love vibration. Well, that is a nice present. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I'll just go with Ho'oponopono.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Michiko. And could you say a water prayer, please?
Okay. Please repeat after me, okay? Water, we're sorry.
Water, please, everyone around the world, please say this. Water, we're sorry.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we love you. Beautiful, beautiful. And Dr. Emoto, when he said this prayer or had people say it, the water on the molecular level and electron level in those water samples, it changed into beautiful crystals, didn't it?
Right, exactly. And it changes water, or the molecular of the water changes, the structure changes instantaneously depending on what we do, what we say to water. So as offering this prayer, water all around us as vapor, the molecular changes.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. Well, I'm going to ask you to stick around, Michiko, okay, because I'm going to ask Carolyn, we're going to bring in Dr. Emoto and just give some messages.
Wonderful.
From him today.
And meanwhile, I'm cooking for people to come to be here in the evening for wine and spirits.
That's right. And okay, the oysters, yes.
Oysters.
That's nice,
we'll
yeah.
Cooking.
We have free free wine and free oysters for those who'd like to stop by. And if you don't stop by, that's fine too, because there'll
be some cheese, crackers, and salad, and some other things.
That's fine. I hope you could come. Anyway, Carolyn, I'm going to have my friend Carolyn White sit with me now. Carolyn, I think we have more power in numbers, so I'd like both of us to bring in Dr. Emoto now.
Okay.
And to ask him about water and how we can make this planet a better planet.
What he's saying to me is that his work is just the tip of the iceberg. And then he's chuckling because he says, well, you know, like icebergs made from water, kind of a little joke there, but he says that basically what we need to do is to take his work and amplify it. That it's just that he was just doing he was starting this beautiful project. And one of the things that he says that it is so important, there's something about the research on a molecular level that bacteria, that there could be 10% good bacteria and 10% negative bacteria, and then 80% bacteria that is neutral.
Right.
He says that it is so important to remember that if we just have a little bit more good in this world, a little bit more good, that will be the tipping point. And at this point right now, what I'm getting is that he's saying that we're just about at that tipping point for the positive.
That's fantastic. What good news. Mm-hmm. Now I know Dr. Emoto, he was here for 52,000 years or 720 lifetimes trying to raise that vibration of the planet?
Yes. He was here for many, many, many lifetimes. His oversoul, his what you would call his spirit, his higher self, has been around. And every time he says that he has been on this planet, that he has learned something. He has learned about that, what vibration is, and that vibration is the most important element to think about in the universe. It's like Nikola Tesla said, that if you want to know about the universe, think in terms of frequency and vibration. Mm-hmm. And so all of our words, our thoughts, give off a vibration. And this is interesting because he was showing me the other day, as explaining this to Jerry, about people that eat meat, that is, they have almost a discordant, in a musical chord, it would be like C, E flat, G sharp, and A, which is kind of a discordant chord, whereas people that don't have a
a very positive chord. So all of the universe, and he's found this, and right now Dr. Emoto is learning more about sacred geometry, about the vibration of the music of the spheres, and how this all resonates, and that we too can tap into these vibrations, and we can have discord in our life, or we can have good and harmony.
Hmm. Beautiful. What good advice. What good advice. Has he seen the future, and what's the future hold for us?
The future, he says, is that if we follow, it's again that 10% positive, 10% negative, and the 80% in between, is that the future is very fluid, and if we have that positive balance, it's all up to us. It's all up to us as conscious creators, because there is a very positive future out there. Mm-hmm. It's just that we have to all make the choice that this is what our future is going to be.
Now, you also bring in a wonderful entity called Matthias. Could you, if you don't mind, could you bring him in as well?
Well, Matthias is usually always with me here. So what Matthias wants to know, what is your question today?
Okay. Matthias, I wanted to ask him, what does he see for our future as well?
You know, he's saying basically the same thing, that we have, we do have a very positive outlook. We have a very bright future. However, again, it's up to us as individuals. At any one time, at any one point in history, at any one point of where the energies are converging, and with the Schumann frequencies now, the higher vibration, you see what he's saying is that when it was 7.8 hertz, this is also the frequency of the kind of resting mind, the alpha brain waves. Mm. And so we've been kind of lulled for years and years into accepting things. And now we're getting these spikes into what beta and delta waves, and we're getting not the delta, but the
theta.
Theta is the lower one.
Beta.
The beta waves.
Beta waves, yeah.
And higher.
Yeah.
And what he's telling me is that at any one time, that we have the vibrational tools available to us to really propel ourselves into that next level, into this multidimensionality, into these awarenesses. And what's going to happen is that Mother Earth is moving in towards what some would call the fifth density, or the fifth
dimension.
So there will be those that will move along and evolve with Mother Earth. There will be those that are completely resisting it, and they're going to go into what we would consider to be like purgatory or hell, because their negative vibrations create that particular version of Earth. And there'll be some that will be in kind of in limbo, and they will just keep going on and repeating their lives. So there's a crossroads coming up, if you were within about the next 5 to 7 years, where this is going to be happening.
Separation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a serious question, and nothing against this news organization, but what about Fox News? What will happen to Fox News in the new Earth?
Fox News will get exactly what Fox News and their protagonist deserve. And so this is the thing that if you believe, again, it's if you believe that you're on the righteous path, and you do so by negating other people, putting other people down, and living off of the misery of others, then basically you are going to have to relive and redo a lot of the lessons through other incarnations.
Do you think, Matthias, do you think there'll be a time when Fox News becomes a positive news source?
that, again, the fluid future, Fox News is in its inception, and how it was created. It was created to be sensational. So it's really going to have to, everything can change. Anybody can change. Any organization can change. There's a potential for it there. If it will happen in the next 5 to 7 years, let's say that it's on the it's on the scale of being a miracle if it does change.
I see. Well, I want to make this for the record. I'm not against Fox News. I do watch them sometimes, but the problem I have with them, as I do with much of the U.S. media, is that it's so negative. I mean, why would I want to watch something about car crashes and the latest disasters when I know there's a lot of good things happening out there?
And it's all about the dollars and cents, is that it's appealing to the baser levels of what is perceived to be human nature. We don't hear stories about that there were 100 random acts of kindness committed in downtown Seattle today.
Right.
We hear about what is the bad, what is the negative. And so this is where a lot of the alternative news sources that have uplifting stories to us. And I think the thing that it's, there's a program, and again, this is a draconian program, that violence and negativity sells. Violence and negativity sells copy. Violence and negativity sells and attracts people. And the thing is, Ted, is that there's been a lot of surveys done lately that people are turning off the major networks. They're not getting their news there because they just realize that the message is just over and over the same thing.
Well, I don't want to say anything negative about Coast to Coast Radio. I think it's an excellent station. However, at the beginning of their programs, they often focus in on what they consider news, and the news often is basically the latest car crashes, airplane crashes, and negative news that comes out. And so sometimes when I listen to Coast to Coast, I can't listen to more than a few minutes of it because a lot of it's doom and gloom.
And I think people are starting to wake up to this. And again, that's all part of the ascension of this planet, is that we realize that it's our energy field. When we talk about something that is positive and uplifting, it imprints on our energy field, and it raises our vibration. If we talk about things that are negative and not life-affirming, then that also sticks in our energy field. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that people need to realize that to invest their thoughts, to invest their energy in good, positive, uplifting energy. And the thing is, we all have bad days. I know that there's
sure.
things that happen, and it's how that you perceive that. Is this something that, is it, oh my, why did this happen to me, or what can I learn from this? How can I make lemonade out of lemons?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And everything, this is like a big school, Carolyn. I think we're all here to learn a lesson. And if you look at it that way, then everything that happens to you, even if it seems to be negative at the time, has a lesson, and that can be a good thing.
And that's part of karma is action, and that's part of how we progress. That's part of how we evolve, the choices that we make. Do we choose to be of high vibration? Do we choose to be truthful with our words? Do we choose to be loving and kind with our words and supporting other people? So really, we all have a choice here on this planet, and we're here to learn these lessons. I kind of joke, and to some of my students, I say, well, you know, if we were all perfect, we would be dead. We wouldn't be here. This is Earth school,
right.
And so it's these are all things that are thrown at us, and we evolve by the choices that we make and how we learn from them.
Well, that's true. That's true. I made an earlier comment today about the universe teeming with life. And as a psychic, not only is this hotel, this beautiful historic hotel, which was built in 1868, just after the Civil War, teeming with paranormal activity, but also the ocean out here as well. I had Zora and Billy Fay Woodard on my show last year, and he said that there's a pod of mermaids and mermen just off the coast here. And he said if you want to contact them, you go out into the surf and have your feet in the water, meditate, and send them lots of love and light, and they will hear you, and you can get in contact with them. So after today's show, that's what I'm going to do. I'll walk 5 minutes off from the door of the hotel here out into the surf, and I plan to try to contact the mermaids and mermen of the pod just off the coast here.
That's excellent. And another thing with the ocean, if you think about it, the ocean is billions of years old. Mm-hmm. It holds the information of billions of years of humanity, of people that have lived here, of the animals. And so if you go out to the ocean and just sit there and listen, there is such wisdom in the roaring of the surf. There is such depth of knowledge. And it holds because it's as Dr. Emoto showed, that water does retain these energies. And so there's a lot that we can learn from the ocean, a lot that we can learn from even the lake water. Because just think about it, that the raindrops that fall on the tip of your nose may have been around at the time of Buddha or of Yeshua ben Joseph, or even earlier, that the water has been a part of the lives of all of our great teachers and all of our people of wisdom and elders.
I have a question for Dr. Emoto, and this comes from Matthias Di Stefano, who had a previous life in Atlantis. He's an Argentinian young man. He must be about 29 or 30, but he's been on my show a couple times in the last few years. And he has very vivid memories of living in Atlantis 12,500 years ago. And when he was there, he said that the Atlanteans did not keep all their records on paper as much as they did in water. Mm-hmm. They used organic computers, which had an extra, H203, that was the molecular symbol for it. I share that with Professor Jerry Pulla, a famous water scientist at the University of Washington a couple of months ago, and he said he would investigate, but he said it's theoretically possible to build an organic computer in which they use an extra oxygen molecule as a memory storage device, which is far more efficient than using our metal devices in a organic or partially or organic computer. So when we look at the ocean out here, Matthias said that the ocean itself is like a library that's scattered all these books, history books of the past, and someday our Earth scientists will be able to decipher. They'll take a gallon of salt water, seawater, and be able to decipher the information in that seawater for our benefit. What does Dr. Emoto say about that? I'd love to hear his opinion.
Oh, Dr. Emoto says that's totally accurate. A lot of the records, even that we find, we look at ancient Egypt and the pyramids and think, gee, there had to have been blueprints or something to organize that. They actually used that technology of the water organic computers in Egypt.
Fantastic, fantastic. I know that in Lemuria now, that the entities that I've been in contact at Telos, that they actually have organic computers. Mm-hmm. They have computers, but they're organic. They are thousands and thousands of years ahead of us.
Yes, it's interesting how science fiction a lot of times gives us disclosure. In the Star Trek Voyager, the whole Voyager ship was run by organic computer packs. And the organic computers, one day, they developed a virus. So there's been disclosure on that. On a science fiction level. So, yes, there was organic, and that's why a lot of the records from ancient civilizations seem to be lost. They have this advanced technology. They're not really lost. They are have gone back into the waters of the ocean, and mostly the ocean, but the ocean, the lakes, the rivers, the ocean.
And, you know, when you stare out at an ocean and wonder about the information in past civilizations, The answer is staring you right in front of your mm-hmm. face. The answer to our past and the history of our past is in the water. And one day, Dr. Moto is telling me now, I'm bringing mm-hmm. him in, we will be able to decipher that.
Yes.
And that'll be truly an amazing experience.
Oh, for sure. And that's what Matthias has also told me over the years, that the oceans hold the entire record of life on this planet for billions of years. Mm-hmm. And we are at this point, we're approaching it from a too linear point of view, that this information is, it's there, and it will be discovered, however, in not the kind of the mechanical ways of our physics today. And even quantum physics is just touching on the surface of that. They will discover how to talk to the water crystals, the water themselves, and get this information and reorganize it, because a lot of it now is scattered, and it needs to be kind of like if you take a file folder with a bunch of papers and throw it up in the air, and that's been going on for hundreds of thousands of years, and then you have to take it and kind of assemble it back together, put the beads together, in essence, restring the information.
One thing that's happened, this is a point that Professor Jerry Pollack of the University of Washington made at my Galactic Wisdom Conference earlier this month. Professor Pollack said there's been no major public discoveries of anything significant since 1945 with the atomic bomb and 1952 with the discovery of the DNA strand by Watson and Crick in Cambridge, England. But the problem with that is that science has become mediocrity, rules the day. It's been defending old paradigms that don't work. Mm-hmm. Creativity is squashed. New ideas are not perpetuated at all. And this is why science, especially in the United States and the West, is sort of static. There's no ideas, no new ideas, because it's been ossified. The universities and research institutions favor mediocrity. They favor the old schools that don't need any answers. It's like medical care. They're not interested in finding true answers for anything. They look at the old solutions, which is safe. They'd rather have people with PhDs in archaic knowledge that where nothing new is being brought out.
And this is one of the things that Dr. Emoto is saying that he ran into, is that the technologies that he worked with and the research is that they didn't fit the paradigm. Like, how could this make money for people? Right. How could this support the chemical companies in their efforts to sell product? It didn't. And what we have to look at is a whole new revolution, because it's just that it's like the mainstream science. It is not to be, you use a sexist term here, but it's really kind of an old boys club.
Right, exactly.
And
right.
So we're doing things to really say, well, you know, like, gee, you're right, or well, I think this little nuance here, and this is where a lot of it that's going to be coming in with this new science, that there's going to be a partnership between those that can see beyond the three-dimensional, that can see into that world of sacred geometry and light and form.
This is why Professor Albert Einstein, President Kennedy, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, Nostradamus, Mahatma Gandhi, Benjamin Franklin, Mother Teresa, Dr. Masaru Emoto, the Galactic Alliance, and a host of other great spirits came to me in the last 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. and they said, would you please tell people that you're not going to have a nuclear war and that your future is very bright? They're sick and tired of listening to doom and gloom on American media saying that we're all going to end one day. We're not going to end, and our future is very mm-hmm. bright. And a new science comes with that.
Well, one of the things that there are entities that feed off of fear.
True.
And what the doom and gloom does is that it provides them really good food. So what we need to do as individuals is to almost the doom and gloom is to laugh at it. to say, gee, this is, you know, like, come on, get out of here. This is not going to happen. I'm a powerful being. I am envisioning this beautiful future. But every time we talk about nuclear this or this destructive or like that, it just feeds the fears.
Right.
And so I think that it is important that we look away from those stories and make our own stories, of a bright future and take responsibility. And that's what happens a lot is when people give into the doom and fear, is that they're giving away their power. They're saying, well, I can't do anything about this if there's a nuclear bomb. Yes, you can.
That's right.
Yes, you can.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, Carolyn. Absolutely. Michiko, would you like to say something as far as your work with teaching little children love and gratitude around the world? Maybe you have some ideas in this as well.
Well, thank you. What I'm doing is, as Dr. Emoto started to distribute this children's book of The Message from Water, to teach children and also all people on this earth that we are powerful beings, spiritual beings, and that if we stay positive, then we will be, everybody will be able to live in harmony. If we are not resonating with negative vibrations, then we would be able to stay in a positive vibration. And when we resonate with all the beautiful high vibration, then the whole world will be beautiful and in harmony. So this children's book, The Message from Water, has been distributed to all children in 33 languages right now. And I was just in San Diego to give this lecture on The Message from Water to all school children in San Diego. And one of the schools had 160 to 80 students, and they just learned what water is, how we are water, and how our thoughts and words can change our own lives and the world. So hopefully by everyone learning about this water, the world will be in a harmonious place very soon in the future.
Absolutely. And all of us, like President Kennedy has told me, all of us working together, creating positive change from the bottom up, are changing things.
Mm-hmm.
We've already stopped a nuclear war. My goodness. And we should be celebrating that. Absolutely. Because in 1989, Nostradamus predicted that we would be in a nuclear war by the mid to late 1990s, with many American cities devastated by nuclear bombs by the year 2005. Now the year is 2018, and not one American city has been blown up. And we're on a different timeline. Sure, we had a nuclear we had problems with Fukushima, but that's getting cleaned up now by the Galactic Alliance, and they're not going to let us blow ourselves up. The other thing too, and I've mentioned this before a few weeks ago, is that the North and South Korean governments agreed to have one team for the Olympics recently, and that's an amazing development. That wasn't covered very much by the U.S. by the controlled U.S. media, but again, that's wonderful news. And I've heard, too, that there's actually been a peace treaty signed between North Korea and the United States. And that's why China now is getting involved. I don't know the full details of that, and I hope that that's true. But I heard there was a rumor out for that. Carolyn, what have you heard as far as that? What have your spirit friends say about that in North Korea?
Well, definitely North Korea and South Korea, they have been talking for a while. Just the fact that their teams play together in the Olympics, there's been over a year of negotiations, and the thing is that the people want to come back together. Their families have been split up for over 60 years. So the entities that are involved with working with this are wanting to bring unity to that part of the world. And one of the things that they're going to have to overcome at this particular time is the concept of forgiveness. I think they did that like in South Africa.
They did, yeah.
The reconciliation.
Right.
And for us to move forward, especially in this, on this Mother Earth, this planet we're living on, is that solving the problems of punishing somebody for what they did is not going to work. We have to have a reconciliation of forgiveness for us to really evolve as a species, to evolve on this planet. And the entities that I'm talking to are saying that this is what they are working towards in North and South Korea, and even with China at this particular point in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think most people want to live in peace and harmony. They're tired of the fighting anymore. And I still don't see a nuclear war happening in the future. And I think people will learn to get along better in the future.
Well, the supposedly false alarm in Hawaii that happened, where they said you have 20 minutes, there's an incoming nuke, and then it just didn't happen. It's actually the Galactics intercepted that, because there was an attempt
it was a cabal submarine, false flag, and the submarine, from my information anyway, there was a cabal negative submarine that actually shot a nuclear missile at Honolulu, and they were going to blame it on North Korea. North Korea had nothing to do with it, and they were attempting to start a nuclear war between the United States and North Korea. And when that happened, Zora, I haven't been able to get a hold of Zora for months. He's been on my show before, but he's unavailable now, and I've been told that he's actually in a spacecraft orbiting this planet, monitoring the activities of the cabal so they don't start a nuclear war. And his spacecraft and the Galactic Alliance shot down that nuclear missile that was fired at Honolulu. And that actually was a real alarm with a real missile that came out, but the missile was destroyed. You'll never hear about this on the main media, but this is what I've been told what actually happened.
Well, the missile was dematerialized.
Interesting. Well, and I also heard that the submarine itself was also destroyed.
It wasn't destroyed. It was also dematerialized. And the people that were on that submarine, this is the thing about, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth that has to stop, is that the Galactics realize this, and they, in essence, dematerialized the submarine and the people that were on it, and they were put into, another dimension for a while. But okay. they were not destroyed.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's a very interesting comment. Thank you. Thank you so much, Carolyn. Thank you so much for doing that. I've noticed one thing. Every time I go down to Shasta, it gets easier and easier to get into the Hollow Earth. Physically, six people went in September of 2016. The couple of times I was there with a group of people in 2017, we all meditated, and I think all of us except for one were able to actually go into the astral plane through our pineal gland. And I think this year, the way things are going, we should be able to get there even easier than that.
Well, it's interesting because one of the things that the people that, like the Hopi, say that they life came from the ant people, and the ant people live underneath. They live in Hollow Earth, and whenever there was a new arrival, there's in the kiva, the holy sanctuary, there is a little hole in the ground called the sipapu, and this is where the spirit came from. And so the natives of in North America realize that, and also really all over the world, that there is this underground, this inner earth realm, and that a lot of our spirit friends come from there, and there's a lot of people that there's been a lot more contact lately, because the people in inner earth realize that they must work with us above ground to preserve and save Mother Earth.
One of the things that I was told a couple of years ago is that the oxygen supply for the people of the Hollow Earth comes from our atmosphere. So when Fukushima happened back in March of 2011, that radiation that was circling the globe was sucked into the Hollow Earth, and they suddenly were not very happy about that. Now, they realized that they needed to work with us, and we also needed to work with them as well.
Because for millennia, the people of Hollow Earth, other than the contact with the Hopi and other indigenous people, they have shied away from contact with Westerners, the Europeans. And one of the things they know that they need to work with us, because this is a very critical time in our collective lives that we need to honor and respect and help purify the water and the air of this planet.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. That's very, 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 very profound. Very, very profound. One thing that Dr. Emoto used to say, that water is God and God is water. The two are, because water is everywhere, and that God force energy is everywhere as well.
If we took all of the water out of our body, we would just be bags of dirt. And that's, in essence, water is our life. It's our blood. And it's also the blood of Mother Earth. We look at the visions of Mars that we have now, and there's frozen water and there's water underground that it seems to be gone from the surface. If you took all the surface water away from Mother Earth, it would just be kind of irregular-looking rocks. So without water, there would be no life. So water is... Or there would be the earth would be a desert, and the thing is that water is the source energy. Without water, we wouldn't have our atmosphere. Without water, we wouldn't have clouds. We wouldn't have precipitation.
We wouldn't exist.
Well, yes, we would not exist if we didn't have water.
Exactly. That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. And this is one issue that I've been actually interested in for decades. And we have to realize that water is life, and water has to be protected.
Yes.
And it's a public good as well. Not one corporation, not one government can control it. Did you know that Nestle recently bought a huge watershed in South America, trying to control all this water? It won't work. Nestle's also trying to control the water in Mount Shasta area too. And that has to be stopped, because it's like air. They can't own the air, and they can't own the water either. Sorry. One interesting thing about the reptilians is that the reptilians they're separated from source, of the supreme being, and they are a resource-driven species which depends upon conquest and pillaging this planet for the resources, including water. So when I look at companies like Nestle looking out and trying to privatize water, that doesn't make any sense at all. It's like trying to privatize air, trying to own our souls. Sorry, that cannot be done, period.
Yeah. Well, again, science fiction, imitating life and disclosure. Schwarzenegger, his movie Total Recall, they were on Mars, and the corporations there, they owned the atmosphere. That without that, they owned the air that was one would breathe. So this is the thing that we all have to act independently to preserve that the air and the water that we have on Mother Earth are free and available and open to all to use in a conscientious and respectful way.
Well, thank you so much, Carolyn, for coming on today. It's been beautiful having you here. Michiko, of course, of the Emoto Peace Project, for coming on today. www.emoto, E-M-O-T-O, peaceproject.me, and also .net. And everyone listening and here in the audience here at the beautiful Tokelin Inn, and Washtakni Nilo, for coming on today, and all the beautiful spirit friends. And with that, Eric, could you please play the Water Song Japanese version now? And I hope everyone has a beautiful, really happy weekend. Thank you so much for listening and supporting Out of This World Radio. Bye-bye, everyone.
水の星。